NPR.
Hey, Sally Herships, what is something you've learned that feels illegal to even know?
Ooh, something that feels illegal to even know. Where to find a parking place in New York City?
Ooh, yeah. Remind me to ask you about that later. In this case, someone asked this very question on TikTok recently, and, well, a lot of the answers, they didn't make a lot of sense.
If you're under 18 and you go into a store and rob them, but you have to be naked, that's the key.
Buy an ATM and keep it in your room. You open up 100 bank accounts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So those ones didn't make sense to me. But here in January, one response to that question, it went super viral. It was instructions on how to zero out your hospital bills. Pay nothing if your income's low.
Tell me more. I am intrigued.
This one came from Jared Walker. In the video, we see a white guy, early 30s, hipster mustache. And he says most U.S. hospitals are nonprofits, so they are legally required to offer financial assistance or charity care policies, free or heavily discounted services.
Let me show you how this works.
He spends the rest of this 60-second video demonstrating how to see if you can get your bill forgiven. And as we watch, he Googles a hospital's name plus the phrase financial assistance.
Should be the top link. Let's check.
This search brings up a long document. We see him scrolling. He finds the income threshold below which this hospital will forgive medical bills.
So if you make under that amount, the hospital will legally forgive your medical bills. And if you're
a
larger
hospital. In its first week, this TikTok video got seen more than 10 million times. And Jared, he says he has seen millions of dollars in hospital bills forgiven since that video came out in January. And now he's ramping up.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Sally Herships in for Stacey Vanek-Smith.
And I'm Dan Weissman. I host An Arm and a Leg, a podcast about the cost of healthcare.
Today on the show, how the advice from a 60-second video could zap billions of dollars in medical bills and what that could mean for hospitals' bottom lines.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fidelity Wealth Management. VP Dylan Sanders shares why it's important to understand clients' values.
People quantify dreams differently, so it's essential to be able to sit with a client and listen and ask questions and just begin to understand what it is in their life that they want to pursue and help them create a roadmap to get there.
To learn more, go to fidelity.com/wealth. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Jared Walker didn't set out to become a TikTok star. He kind of backed into the whole situation over the course of more than 8 years, starting about a decade ago. Jared was working his way through college in Portland, Oregon. He was managing a couple of trampoline parks.
Yeah, and one day, in the course of a half hour, he got word of two major events for his family. An aunt's death from cancer and one of his cousins had given birth to a baby who was not only premature, but needed life-saving heart surgery. Both big news in their own right, but also potentially huge bad financial news.
I mean, the bills hadn't even come through yet, but everybody was, that was a big part of the conversation. I just thought, well, that seems dumb. Like, why are we talking about that?
He also thought, we are probably not the only family having these conversations today. And he started wondering, could he help some of these other families out? He thought, could I get a bunch of people to chip in $1 a month and pool that money to help a different family every month pay their medical bills? It seemed like something kind of cool that he wanted to try.
But I didn't think I'd be devoting my freaking life to it. It was just like, this is just going to be a fun little side project.
So he held a fundraiser and he quickly learned two things. One, lots of folks were game to chip in. Two, he didn't know anything about how to set up a nonprofit organization. Apparently, there's, like, laws about this stuff. So he started studying up and making plans in between his college classes and his hours at the trampoline park. And after a couple years,
I just decided, okay, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to freaking do it.
Yeah, he quit the trampoline park. At first, he didn't even take a salary.
I mean, I was bartending at night and just hustling around trying to get some money wherever I could.
He and his wife lived in her parents' basement, and he was collecting small donations, helping out one family a month. That year, his organization gave out $80,000. And then Jared met a local lawyer who told him about the charity care law.
At that point, I'm still thinking, like, okay, man, like, this isn't real, you know?
But he checked it out, and the lawyer was right. Under federal law, all nonprofit hospitals must have policies to forgive debts for people on a limited income.
And I'm thinking, what the hell have I been doing this whole time? We're changing our model real quick.
The new model he came up with, instead of raising money, he would help people apply for charity care.
So over the next couple of years, Jared helps scores of families around his hometown of Portland, Oregon, navigate those applications successfully. But then, as this year was beginning...
My little sister, Grace, was like, yo, you need to get on TikTok. And I'm thinking, no freaking chance am I getting on TikTok.
And then Jared saw that prompt. What's something you've learned that feels illegal to even know? And he thought, getting free medical care in the U.S.? That feels illegal, right?
So I was at the office late one day and made a TikTok.
Yeah, and the next morning...
The video had like 50,000 views. And then in the next like 10 minutes, it had 100,000 views. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is really picking up steam.
Jared ends that video inviting people to get in touch if they want help with their own medical bills. And he has heard from thousands of people. He is working his way through a super long list. He's even brought on a couple of people to help because he was the only staff member at first.
And he set up an online intake system. And he's been building a cadre of volunteer patient advocates because he's also been hearing from people who want to pitch in. Some of them have already tested Jared's advice for themselves.
A young kid, he's like 20 years old, saw us on TikTok, followed the steps, filled out the paperwork, and he got a $108,000 medical bill completely waived for his mom. And so reached out to me and said, hey, like I saw your video a little bit ago and I wanted to tell you how it's changed our lives. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And then he signed up to be a patient advocate and is now volunteering. So super, super cool.
There's going to be plenty for Jared and those volunteers to do. In 2019, a story from Kaiser Health News and the Washington Post found that nearly half of all nonprofit hospitals went after patients on bills that qualified for charity care under the hospital's own policies. Hey, and I should mention, Sally, that Kaiser Health News supports my podcast. Anyway, Kaiser Health News and the Washington Post found all this data, how often hospitals chase patients who qualified for charity care, by looking through hospitals' own IRS filings. And it was billions of dollars. And experts told me, it's more like a floor than a ceiling.
According to filings in a state lawsuit and interviews by the reporters, one hospital, St. Joseph's, told its workers, never voluntarily offer patients a charity care application. If the patient asks you for one, you blow off that request and insist they give you a deposit. And you do that three times. If they ask you a fourth time, then okay, magic sesame, you give them the application.
Keith Hurl consults with hospitals to help them comply with IRS rules on charity care. And he says hospitals take all kinds of approaches to charity care, and many of them do a good job. But here's the complication.
There's definitely a tension between mission and margin.
Even nonprofit organizations need a business plan. Not all hospitals are created equal. Some big-name hospitals run huge surpluses and have billion-dollar endowments, and other community hospitals are at risk of closing.
If you give away too much, that means the hospital may actually lose money. And over time, that means the organization won't grow and be able to meet community needs down the road.
Keith says there are some hospitals that go out of their way to find people who qualify for charity care and to make sure they get it. He says there's even a software that exists that they use to check, hey, does this person qualify for charity care? Maybe we should write off their bill. And there are also actual business reasons for hospitals to do this.
Why are we going to spend the money, staffing, collections agency, all that, those resources to go after collecting bills where we just know that it's unlikely that we're going to actually collect anything?
In other words, trying to squeeze blood from a stone has a lousy profit margin. But it seems some hospitals are still working that model, or trying to, seeing as there's still plenty of work for Jared and his volunteers. A few weeks ago, he held a training for those volunteers online.
As I'm doing the training, I'm sharing my screen and we're getting notifications every 30 seconds, like new patient, new patient, new patient. All the volunteers are like, holy crap, is it always this busy? Like, what's going on?
Jared had actually just gone viral a second time. Somebody had reposted the video to a new social network and Jared landed on the front page of Reddit. Apparently, plenty of people are still hungry for his advice.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin and Julia Ritchie with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Michael Ha. Our editor is Kate Kim Cannon, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.